Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are rocking with you until noon, then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Right here on Sacramento Sports Leader, we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube, omnipresent. The Kings taking on the Rockets tonight. The Kings looking to start up a new 7-game winning streak, or maybe an 8-game winning streak. I would love to be here for an 8-game winning streak.
Their
first one since 2003. Mm-hmm. The 03-04 year. I'd love to be around for that. It looked like they might do it late against Milwaukee the other night. And then just... I want to retire the phrase "let go of the rope,"
yeah.
Because that's when to use that phrase. Like that'd be the correct use of the phrase. Like at the end of the game, the Kings cut it to 11 and then let go of the rope. But letting go of the rope when you've battled from 21 down and it's been back and forth, and then you finally get it to 11 and then like you know what, ran out of gas. That's different than letting go of the rope in the first quarter because you're down 15.
Oh, totally, you know? Totally.
That's what the problem was last year.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say they let go of the rope against the Bucks.
No. I don't think they let go. I think they had a really bad first quarter. They didn't come ready to play, and they battled the rest of the game. And I thought that was it was a highly competitive game after the first quarter. And, you know, so you're kind of dealing with, you know, the recovery process, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And eventually you run out of steam, and mm-hmm. they hit a couple of big shots and just put the game away.
That's what happens. That's what a normal, like we said, that's what a normal NBA loss looks like. But hopefully we see the Kings get a win against the Houston Rockets, the number two seed Houston Rockets. They come into Golden 1 Center at 27-12. One of those 12 losses, though, was back in December against the Sacramento Kings at this very same arena at Golden 1 Center. So how do the Kings get a win tonight? Let's get to keys to victory. James Hamm, key number one to a Kings win against the Rockets.
Match physicality.
Yep.
This Rockets team plays extremely hard. You know, again, we all know Dylan Brooks is a problem, but Asur Thompson, if Tari Eason plays, like they have a bunch of really big time try hard guys.
Yep.
And if you're not ready to play, they will like punch you in the face, like both
almost literally.
Yeah. I think both like metaphorically and like physically, they will just pop you. That's kind of who they are. And if you're not ready for that, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know who they are coming in. And if you're not ready to, like, punch back, then you're going to have a long night.
Yeah, man. And the key is matching the physicality, but with not by picking up a technical foul because you shoved Fred VanVleet to the ground. Like, match the physicality within the scope and lens of the basketball game.
Yeah.
And it's the Kings showed, I thought they did a great job of that in their earlier matchup this year in December. And the Rockets showed kind of what you were talking about earlier. Like they're still a little immature in some ways,
because
mm-hmm. a bunch of young players. And when you punch back, they don't love it. And you can take them out of their game if you match their physicality. It is a big, big key tonight. That's a great one.
Yeah, they're almost kind of spoiled. They don't like it when, like, they're a bully.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, bullies get bullied thing.
Yep.
They don't handle the bullying well at all. They're like, wait a sec, we're the bullies.
That's how I felt about the Minnesota Vikings the last 2 weeks of the year, the last two games of the year for them.
Oh.
You found a couple of teams that were going to punch you in the mouth, and they were like, wait, hang on.
We're the team that blitzes everybody.
Right. Yeah, you don't have a counterpunch. So I think that's a great key by you. Number one for me, De'Aaron Fox, stay mad.
Yep.
That was the thing that happened in the last game. Was De'Aaron Fox found the thing that lit the fire under his ass, and it was Dylan Brooks, and he killed the Rockets in that game. He took over, and Mike Brown even said, like, that's the thing. If De'Aaron Fox is going to become, like, hit that next level, because I think he has one more level to get as a player, and that's like MVP candidate superstar.
Yeah,
if he's going to get there, that's the difference.
Yep,
it's finding that every single night, and he doesn't. But I need him to find it right away tonight. Just see that Rockets jersey, see Dylan Brooks, see Fred VanVleet, see Tari Eason, and get going.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it leads me to my key, which like my second key is it's a showcase game. TNT is in town. Mm-hmm. This is a big moment for the Kings, especially De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis. All-star eyes will be watching.
Great point.
They will be watching people who don't typically watch the Sacramento Kings. Kevin O'Connor will be watching this game tonight. Kevin O'Connor. And they will find out that the Kings are either a pretender or a contender against the second best team in the Western Conference right now. They'll get to see it.
Are we sure KFC is going to watch?
Well, I don't know. Maybe from KFC.
Hey, is this right? Domas only had 7 boards in that game.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
There's a reason.
Oh, boy.
Why you're struggling.
Oh, boy.
That's right. You also
Keon chose. Ellis also did not play.
Oh, that was one of those weird games. Against a guy like Jalen Green,
Jalen Green had 28 points on 9 of 14 from the field and 5 of 8 from 3, 7 boards, 3 assists, and Keon Ellis sat and watched it all 48 minutes.
He started launching those 27, 28 footers and was like, oh, and he was the only one that was effective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like...
The rest of the team went 9 of 31 from 3.
Yeah. Yeah, when he gets on one, when he gets on one, you know you need Keon Ellis.
Man, would love to have Keon Ellis out there. Jalen Green's hitting shots.
That's right.
They had a player like that. Yeah, man, this is it. This is kind of the exact thing I'm talking about, is you have to go out in a game like this. And honestly, I think the thing in the 22-23 season that kickstarted the whole everybody going, oh, hey, Sacramento, was that national TV game against the Knicks. Where, remember, Josh Hart had like 26 rebounds or whatever insane number it was, but then they went and beat the Knicks at Golden 1 Center, and Golden 1 was awesome, and the Kings played awesome, and everybody was like, oh, the Kings! It's like,
yeah,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Yeah, good team.
Yeah, you everybody
can,
else saw it.
I think you can do that tonight. You go out and handle the Rockets. It's like, oh, they're really cooking now. They won 8 of their last 9. They just beat the Rockets on national TV. Domas was awesome. De'Aaron was awesome. Wow, what a team. That's I'm right there with you. That's another great key. You're 2 for 2 on keys today. Number two for me, hit the gas early. Malik Monk's going to be back. You can't have a slow start against a team that is coming on the second night of a back-to-back, so you know they're going to be digging deep, trying to go out there. They, too, remember the last game here at Golden 1. They're going to throw a haymaker early. You have to match it.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely cannot come out slow in this game, or you're going to be down by 20 in the first quarter again.
Yeah, you cannot have the landslide happen that you allowed against to the Bucks. You just can't.
Because then their defensive intensity is going to ratchet up because they're still a little front runner-ish. Their defensive intensity ratchets up and everything just gets a little bit more difficult.
No, I'm with you.
Number three.
This is a chance to move within a game of 500 at home.
Mm.
And this matters.
Yep.
The Kings have 2 more winnable games right here. If you can pick this game up here, you have a chance to get over 500 at home by the end of this homestand. And to me, this is what Doug has been preaching the whole time. We are Sacramento,
mm-hmm,
and we need to protect home court, and we need to be better in front of our fans. And this is your opportunity. All the bright lights are going to be on, but all the bright lights in your home, mm-hmm, arena. So go out there and put on a show for your fans and let everybody else hear the roar of your fans through their TV, because that's how you show that your fan base is the best.
Yep. And I whatever Doug says pregame is probably going to be something along those lines.
Yeah.
Number three for me, bench scoring.
Mm.
A big reason that the Milwaukee game got out of hand and you had difficulty getting all the way back from 21 points down. Last game against Houston, you got 25 points off your bench, 12 from Isaac Jones, 13 from Kevin Huerter.
Oh.
That was it. Trey Lyles did not play in that game. He was hurt. Keon Ellis did not play in that game. He was
on hiatus.
Hanging out.
DMPCD.
So I think Keon coming off the bench is going to be helpful. Like I said, I'm ready to see a Kevin Huerter DNP, but he's probably not going to get one. So if he is going to play, I need you to knock down some shots. Need Trey Lyles to have an effective game. If you can get, I don't know, can I get 30 from the bench? Is that too much?
That's a lot, Kyle. I mean, you got to figure Devin 25? Carter. Devin Carter's questionable, so you're not.
Can I get 25 off the bench?
Okay. You need 25.
Let's go 27. Let's split the difference. I need 27 bench points tonight.
Okay, let's say Keon 10, 11 for Trey Lyles. And
6 from everyone else?
8 from Kevin Herter.
Come on, that's almost 30. Yeah. I need 30 bench points. Come on, boys.
Okay. All right. I'm here for it.
All right. And those are your keys to victory. If the Kings do all those things, they're going to get a win, and they may very well start off a new winning streak with games against Washington and Golden State coming up. All right. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. Should be a good one tonight at Golden 1 Center. Can't wait to break it down on the Insiders tomorrow, right here, 10 a.m. on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center. Yeah, man, I don't know why my voice cracked there. I just love this matchup. no, I think the physicality thing, that's something I hadn't really given a lot of thought to, is there's a fine line to walk with the emotions in a game where, you know, maybe you just don't like this team. Mm-hmm. Dylan Brooks, easy guy to dislike. And you're going to come out and you know Malik Monk's going to be fired up, especially after missing a game and they lost. You know Malik Monk's going to come out firing. De'Aaron, I expect to have a big game. Domas versus Şengün is always fun. But you cannot overdo it. You cannot have Malik Monk in foul trouble because he's trying to do too much defensively. You can't have Keon in foul trouble because he's trying to match Dylan Brooks' physicality or whatever it is. There's a fine line to walk. Where, okay, you're matching physicality, nice job, versus, okay, this is reckless. And now you're hurting the team because you got a bunch of guys in foul trouble early.
Yeah.
Or you got somebody picked up a tech or whatever it is.
I find against the Kings, Dylan Brooks' physicality is a problem for himself. Like, he can't keep up with the speed and the quickness of Monk or Fox. And so what he ends up doing is getting physical in the wrong way. And then causing himself to end up on the bench or end up getting thrown out of games. Hey, we have a guest.
We do?
We do.
Oh, we have a guest. Oh, my goodness. Look who it is. It's Mark Jones, voice of the Kings, a legend. What's up, bro? How are you?
Oh, good, good. Just got a good workout in.
Love
just,
that.
Throwing a few clothes in my garment roller bag and heading out to San Antonio to do Grizzlies and Spurs.
Oh, that'll be a fun one.
Yeah, hope that the Spurs come back to the pack a little bit, come back to us in ninth right now. You know what I mean?
I feel like exercise is an underrated part of the broadcaster's routine because I feel like it's so easy to just like traveling, going to dinners, got a game to call, got a bunch of prep to do. It's so easy to just like let that go by the wayside. So yeah. Salute to you for having it be part of your day. That's big time.
4,000 feet on the Versa Climber, burned about 570 calories this morning.
Man, is that just a daily thing?
30 minutes. Yeah.
My goodness.
Man.
Guys, the suits are too expensive to have to buy again, man. I
hear you, Mark. I just decided to not wear the suits anymore because they don't fit.
it's sweater time, baby.
It is sweater time.
You see the cardigan?
They got to end the dress code for NBA announcers. I'm all for it.
Absolutely. You know,
sometimes right. just not up to it sometimes.
Hey, Mark, we've seen the Doug Christie revival here. And, you know, I think we're all in the same boat and that we all appreciate Mike and everything he did here. And also Mike Amen. As a person and as a man, everything else off the court. I love Mike. But what Doug has been able to do here is really intriguing. And what do you think it is that's helped him capture the imagination of this team?
You know, I think, and like you said, first and foremost, I got to say that I'm like you guys. I think that Mike indelibly changed the culture of the Kings and got it back to as close to, you know, 02-03 as it's been in a while. And right now, Doug becomes the curator of that culture. I think Doug would unhaltingly tell you that Mike did a great job and he learned a lot from Mike and that he's going to try and build on what Mike has already put down as a foundation. But I think that next incremental step now is going to be and looks like, guys, more by doing less. You know, we keep hearing that they've simplified things. Well, what does simplified look like to the naked eye and to the viewer out there? It's just going out and playing an early offense, getting a shot up early within the first you know, 6 to 8 seconds of the shot clock, attacking gaps, moving without the ball, going to set a down screen for your teammate off ball when you don't have it, weak side slot cuts, keep moving, and when all else fails, if you don't get something early, throw it to Domas at the top of the key, and they run some delay action. So it's working. I think he's uncluttered the minds and the execution at that end of the floor, and it's worked out to the team's benefit. And it's just been – it's pretty tangible, right? You guys see it too.
Oh, yeah.
Defensively, I think it's a little harder to put your hands around what Doug's done. But I know that it's worked because the defensive numbers during his nine games have been very well, too. You know, I got to tell you this story. So like a few practices into Doug's tenure, they do this drill where they separate the teams in two, right? All the players in two. Doug puts on a blindfold. Jay Triano puts a blindfold. Got one team on one practice court, the other team on the other practice court. And the aim to win the game is for the players on each of the respective teams, starters against bench players, to talk to either Jay or Doug and have them touch each one of the players. And the first team to have the coach touch every one of the players wins. Here's the catch. The music is blaring on the practice court.
Oh.
So what's the exercise?
Talk.
We have to communicate, guys. We have to communicate loud. We have to communicate constantly. Your teammates have to be able to hear you over the noise. It was a fun drill, a teaching moment, but Doug is doing those kinds of things to keep his team engaged. And, you know, it's working. It's working.
A television voice of the Sacramento Kings, Mark Jones, and then if you turn on the television, it's a sporting event. He might be calling it. It's just it's insane how hard this guy works. Do you? We've been talking a lot about the Kings Rockets matchup, their previous matchup this year, where things got a little bit chippy with De'Aaron Fox and Dylan Brooks. Do you expect that to play a role in how the Kings come out tonight?
I think so. I think, you know, the Milwaukee game aside, previous to that, the Kings have been getting off to some pretty good starts. But if they ever needed a warning shot before a warning shot before a warning shot, it's just knowing that, you know, Brooks and Fred Van Vliet and Amen Thompson and the Rockets are coming to town. And the guy that sets the tone is on the sideline, right? Ime Udoka. So they shouldn't need any extra motivation to come out with a lot of fire in the first quarter. We saw what happened last game. There were ejections. There were technical fouls. It's going to be a physical game. And this game, as much as any, will be a pretty good test to see how Sacramento deals with a team that plays with a lot of force, right? I mean, it's these guys. It's Memphis. And the Kings were equal to the challenge in Memphis. So this should be fun tonight. And we all know that when guys try to get physical with De'Aaron, and if De'Aaron gets a fat lip or gets hit in the mouth or something, that's when he transforms into, you know, the Incredible Hulk on his Black Air Force energy, you know.
You know, I feel like the last time you came on was right after the Houston game.
It might have been. Yeah.
We talked about this, how we were going to take turns getting De'Aaron angry before games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then we failed at our task and bad things happened and they went on a losing streak.
Life's too good for him.
I blame us.
I'm not
Mark.
Mad at him. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Mark, when you're looking at a game on TNT, and this is a moment for De'Aaron, for Domas to really show the rest of the NBA world who they are. How big is that for a player who, you know, again, one of them is sitting in eighth in fan voting, one sitting in ninth in fan voting in the Western Conference, but both should, I mean, they have all-star credentials. Do you think this is a moment that they seize and that they see the, like, hey, I need to put on a show?
Yeah. I think, you know, Houston is one of the top teams, top half team in the Western Conference. And, you know, Domas and De'Aaron are both very proud players, and so is DeRozan for that matter. I mean, mm-hmm. So I think that they obviously know that whenever you see that broadcast position set up courtside, they know that the game's going to be a little bit different, whether it's ESPN, TNT, NBA TV, and players are nuanced to those kind of things. And, you know, I like I said, you know, De'Aaron, this is a great environment for him with the guys that are going to be draped all over him tonight, especially, you know, Thompson and, you know, I don't know if Eason's playing, but all the other great perimeter defenders they have. And then Sabonis too, you know, because Domas was a guy that should have been voted in, I think, last year and didn't make it. But, you know, the one thing that I'll tell you about Sabonis, I think he's ready to put on the show tonight as well against Şengün. That's a great matchup, two kind of like centers. But in speaking with a scout that I spoke to in Milwaukee recently, he told me an interesting observation he thought about Domas that, you know, and he's watched him throughout his career, that of late, like in the last year, he's become very comfortable in his celebrity, his increased status, you know, with the Kings. And, you know, he's so deferential, almost to a fault. But this year, he seems to have realized in the scout's eyes that he's helping his team by being less unselfish, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And, you know, tonight's a great opportunity for him to further showcase that.
That was a big talking point last year was I'd be like, man, I would like to see Domas shoot it more. And James is like, well, that's not like his game. Yeah. It's this and that. And it's like, but I'm not asking for a lot. Just yeah. 2.5 threes a game, that's great. Three or four would be yeah. better, but I feel like his yeah. shot selection is certainly more aggressive this year.
Yeah. I mean, we see the frequency of 3-point shots that he's taking now. Mm-hmm. You know, if he can get it up to even like 5 per game,
man,
I'm not sure that that 46% that he's sitting at right now would fall that much more because, you know, he repped that thing out all summer with Doug Christie, whether it was at the practice facility in Napa, Domas' home, doing 2-a-days, or over at the NBA practice facility over in Spain where they spent some of the summer. By the way, guys, I'm working on a trip for the three of us to make that journey next year.
That'd be great. Right.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
We've talked about this, Mark. We need to be on that plane. I also something for you when you're out there and you're talking about the Kings and you're doing other games. You do know that right now, Domantas Sabonis leads the league in rebounding and 3-point percentage at 47.2%.
Insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I said 46. Yeah, it's up to 47 now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Albeit on low volume, but it still counts because he's amongst the leaders. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? It kind of. There was a broadcast crew the other day when we won a big game on the road that seemed to be shocked at Domas knocking down several 3-pointers. Nothing screams like, pal, you ain't been watching. You need to get off that Ambien and not sleep on that. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
It didn't just start, guys. We've seen it from the start of the year. So
I want to jump back to talking about what Doug has been doing offensively and just kind of making things a little easier. One of the things I noticed was Keegan Murray has taken 8 threes in the last 4 times in the last 5 games, and he did that 3 times all year prior to the last 5 games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think that has to do with the offense, with the way Doug is coaching, what he's preaching offensively? What do you think is happening there with?
I think because of the faster pace and the shots we're getting earlier in the shot clock, he's benefiting from all of that. And, you know, I spoke to Keegan prior to the Milwaukee game. He's kind of, you know, you saw he told me he took his tights off.
Oh, yeah. Kids.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, Mark, brand new year. I got to get my vibe back. I want to play like the old Keegan. And he's actually, I think what he was trying to tell me is that he's kind of deprogramming himself from the last 9-10 games and getting his wiggle back. And, you know, like you said, you cited the numbers. He shot the ball a lot better lately.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not hesitant anymore, not as hesitant as he was, I think, a little bit earlier. And he knows where shots are going to come from now, I think, a little bit more. So, you know, he's sitting at about, what, 30-31% from downtown right now off the top of my head. I think we can still see that get up to 35 or 36 before the season's over on increased volumes and make.
Yeah, I think so too, Mark. All right, we can't keep you all day. You have got to go get on a plane and fly to some other state, just like you always do. I'll hit you with this on the way out the door. The Kings have 3 games here at home, and then it leads into a crazy 6-game road trip. What do you hope for them in this 3 games right here especially with 500 at home looming, if they can get on a little bit of a roll.
Got to have it, man. I mean, to be able to leave the crib at 500 would be great. Right now we're sitting, what, two games under 500, I think. You know, you take this one tonight and then get Golden State perhaps on Wednesday. Who do we have in between again?
It's Washington.
Washington, yeah.
Struggling.
So there's a 3-for-3 possibility there, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you go to Denver on the second night of a back-to-back after that and then hit the road, you know, a couple games in New York, Philadelphia. It's a long stretch. This is kind of a season-defining stretch, and the dangerous part of it, guys, is that this is historically and habitually the time of the year when teams take their foot off the gas because they're thinking about Cabo or they're thinking about going to Miami before All-Star break, right? So this is a crucial stretch. If the Kings can get these next three or even two at home and take that momentum on the road, there's some gettable games there, you know?
Yep. I agree.
I think it's looking good, yeah.
Mark Jones, television voice of the Kings, kind enough to drop by and talk some Kings basketball with us. Mark, have a safe flight. Have a good call tomorrow, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
You guys take care. Talk to you soon. Keep up the great work.
No doubt. Thanks, Mark. It's Mark Jones, a legend. We have to step aside for a moment, but when we get back, we'll continue talking Kings and some good coaching news for the 49ers, at least I think. We'll get to that next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is there. Kyle's here. That's me. We're hanging out until noon. I'm excited to go to the game tonight. I was trying to think of when was the last time I went to a Kings game, like, with a ticket?
Ooh. I can honestly say it's been 15 years. That's tough.
I've done some wandering around, like, just to catch the vibes. At games where I've gone in with a credential and I've, you know, walked the concourse and just, you know, go around, chat to people, see what's going on. I feel like I think I went to a game last year and sat in seats.
Hmm.
I'm almost certain that happened.
Okay. I do know, like, I know some guys who
I did.
Sit
you know what? I did. That happened last year. Sorry, go ahead.
I know some guys who sit on the baseline right there by underneath the Kings basket. And, like, there's been, like, hey, if you ever want to go to a game and come down here and sit, I think it'd be a little weird because I'd be, like, right next to the bench and, like, right there.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say no. I would prefer to sit 42 rows up.
Sure.
I don't want to sit right there. I would at least consider it. It would be nice to take a game and just enjoy basketball.
Yeah.
You know, again, dude, have a drink or two and just chill.
What? We should we're just going to do this now. Next season.
Okay.
So we have plenty of time. We'll go to like LA or Portland.
Oh.
We'll just do a little trip.
Okay.
Do a little roadie.
Yeah, I'm in. I love going to Portland and like
I've never been.
Oh, at
so
all.
So we can no. So okay. We can just go to Portland or LA and catch a game and chill.
Yeah, that would be nice. It would be nice to go to a game and just like...
And that way you don't have to be at Golden 1 where it might be a little weird for you.
Yeah. Well, no, I might still do it. Like,
sure.
I just have to be careful that I'm not like having a few drinks and getting
But that's what I mean. We can go to Crypto Staples and just get after it.
There we go.
I love this for us. Love this plan. The Sacramento Kings are flying up the ESPN NBA power rankings. They're all the way up to number 16, and I feel like that's the right spot. I usually do a power rankings thing because I'm like, all right, hey, here's how we can sow some outrage.
Yeah?
No. I guess probably about right.
16?
Middle of the pack.
Okay. I would put them a little higher just because of the way they're playing, but at the same time, understanding that they could fall back.
Well, they jumped up four spots.
Yeah.
So it's not like they've been sitting at 16 and they're just... Like they've moved up accordingly with their better play of late.
I wonder where were they at the start of the season?
That I do not know.
I'm gonna guess like 12.
I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they weren't that high at the beginning of the season. Yeah, I had to do power rankings for years. They're not a ton of fun.
Yeah, they suck because there's so many different ways you can parse them and different criteria. The Kings are 16. They're one spot behind the Miami Heat. But the Heat, two games better in the loss column.
Mm-hmm.
They're up one spot from number 16. Minnesota's at 14. Milwaukee's 13. See, in power rankings, this is the issue with power rankings, too.
Okay.
Is Milwaukee, I know they just beat the heck out of the Kings, but follow me. Milwaukee, Minnesota, Miami, Sacramento, all in the same. You could order those teams however. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's fine. Okay. Pacers 12, let's throw the Pacers into that mix. They've been playing great lately, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Kings have been playing great. They just won seven in a row. Mm-hmm. They won seven out of eight.
Yep.
Potential to, you know,
Clippers right there.
More.
Yeah. They just, eh. Yeah. The Lakers are at 10.
Oof.
20 and 17.
They haven't had their big injury, like, their moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kyle, what do you think? Like, there's a little bit of buzz out there about John Collins. I mean, John Collins has been a player who's been available forever. We talked about this a little off the air.
We have talked about John Collins so much.
What do you think, though? Like, if you're the Kings right now, like, we keep saying, like, there's, like, a moving target here for the Kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is. It's like, okay, do you need just a straight defender? Do you need, like, a shot blocker? Do you need... Mm-hmm. They've got to be able to shoot the three. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we're looking at the bench and saying, okay, if you could get a guy who averages 17, 18 points a game off the bench.
Sure.
And could be your primary guy. Mm-hmm. I think I would listen.
Okay.
I don't know.
So here's my one. I like, financially, you can make it work. But I kind of wonder if John Collins, who, let's see, he's played 27 games. He started 18 this year. He's averaging 18 and 8 with 2.5 assists. He's shooting 43.8% from three. Part of me wonders if there's a... Like, obviously, the opportunity in Sacramento would be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if when the opportunity is different, the player becomes different. Like, are we going to see that version of... of John Collins here. Let me get his per 36 up here.
I think it's interesting. So I didn't know John Collins hasn't played at all lately.
Yeah, he's right.
He's missed 11 of the last 12 games.
So he's which could be a problem. But follow me.
Okay, I'm listening.
Let's go down this journey together. He's averaging 22 points per 36. 22 points, 10 boards, 3 assists. Are you going to get that same production? That same per 36 production, if his role is dramatically reduced?
Okay, so I'm of the opinion that there's a way that you could bring John Collins in and he's going to play a substantial role for you. Like, okay. I don't know if you can get him up to 30 minutes a game, but I still
and 13
think...
13 shots.
I still think you can get 26 minutes a game for him.
Okay.
On the front line. I'm going to take a couple of minutes away from Keegan Murray and drop him back down to 34. So there's 4 minutes. I'm going to take maybe 7 minutes away from DeMar DeRozan and cut him just down a bunch.
Okay.
I think John Collins, like, again, if you were to have to give up a guy like Trey Lyles in order to get John Collins,
yeah,
there's plenty of minutes right there. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a way to bump his minutes up. I just think there are certain things that John Collins does that I think are really good. Like, he is a true lob threat.
Yes.
John Collins is a high flying.
Yes,
like,
he is a monster threat.
Yeah, he's also shooting 43.8% from three.
Mm-hmm.
He also, like, there is
36.4 for his career too. It's not like this year is out of nowhere. He started hitting threes.
He really does. He's starting to look like the player he was like during his 22 and 23 year seasons in the league, where mm-hmm. he was a 20 and 10 guy. And like someone that you thought was going to be a perennial all-star.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that I'm putting him back in that category, but at the same time, like, look, he's got a contract right now at like 20, I think it's 25.8,
mm-hmm.
and then same for next year, but he has a player option for next year. So you would hope that he wouldn't opt out, or you would hope that if he did opt out, he'd give you an opportunity to sign him to a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
Something reasonable, you know, team-friendly, maybe like the declining scale contract that you got for Harrison Barnes at like 25, 23, 21. But I also would tell you that like 3 months ago, he was untradeable. And a lot of people are like, hey, they'll take, if you can just give them expiring contracts, they would get rid of John Collins, not even draft capital. So maybe at this point it costs you one, maybe it costs you 2 second round picks.
Do you have that many?
The Kings don't, but they have one. Maybe they figure out something else to give, but if you have the expiring contracts, I don't know. Like, I'm intrigued because I do think that it's always moving, like what the Kings need. And if Cam Johnson is just, you know, doing like very specific things, like Cam Johnson is just shooting three-pointers. I think John Collins, there's more to John Collins than there is Cam Johnson. I mean, he's a much better rebounder than Cam Johnson.
No doubt.
And he's
like
a much
better
shot blocker. I don't think he's a better defender. In fact, I don't think he's a great defender, but I still like the idea.
But if we're going to sit here and ask for size and athleticism, and then you have a 6'9" guy who can jump out of the gym.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Yeah.
I see the vision for sure. And is he... I think you're ostensibly for the Kings, not, I'm going to use the word trade, but I don't mean in a literal from an NBA standpoint, just the Kings. If you're going to trade Trey Lyles for John Collins ostensibly, I think you're probably better. I think you're a little more versatile maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think he's the passer that you're going to get. And I don't think he's
a tough
guy that Trey Lyles is, but...
Maybe.
He's got a hip injury. That's what I'm
reading.
Yeah,
he's day-to-day with a hip injury.
Yeah, and he's, 11 of the last 12 games he's missed. But that could also be Utah saying, hey, like, we really don't want to play you right now because we want to lose games and we're here. We're all
sure,
in a Cooper flag.
Which they are want to do.
Yeah.
Cooper flag, by the way. I saw somebody in the chatty house yesterday complaining that we weren't talking about Cooper flag. It's because you're not going to get a lot of college basketball talk on this show. Sorry, everybody. But Cooper flag is sick.
Oh, no, he's very
good. And he's been since I was... So you hear about Cooper Flagg from the time he's in like sixth grade, right?
Yeah.
And you hear about him, but so many of these guys you hear about and then never hear from him again. I know Thon Maker was in the NBA for a little bit, but Thon Maker was like that dude. And then he you know, flames out. The thing that sold me on Cooper Flagg was nothing he's doing at Duke. It's the fact that in the Team USA select camp, when the select team scrimmaged Team USA and Team USA... with LeBron and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Anthony Edwards and all these dudes were like, oh my God.
Yeah, they walked away.
That's the guy.
Whew.
Yeah, and he was pulling up from three, off the dribble, catching. He was incredible. So yeah, that's what the Jazz are in for. And we're talking about the second round picks. This is where I wonder if, let's say things don't go the way we would prefer to see them go. And the Kings don't really make a move and they just kind of flame out again. I think you're going to look at a trade like the Hornets and the Suns made, where it's Nick Richards and a second round pick go to Phoenix for Josh Okogie and 3 second round picks. Like that's, I think Nick Richards is the type of player that helps the Kings.
Okay.
It just makes you a little bit better.
Yeah.
But you don't have the assets to go even make that kind of deal.
No, totally.
And that's the bummer.
Yeah, you didn't have the expiring contract. I mean, I guess you did in Trey Lyles, but... Are you going to give up Trey Lyles for Nick Richards?
Right. That's not as helpful.
No, I'm intrigued by
it. Trey Lyles for John Collins is the least interesting to me.
And you can make the John Collins deal a couple of different ways. Like there are other ways to make that deal without including Trey Lyles.
We're trying really hard to trade Trey Lyles.
I'm not trying to trade Trey Lyles.
Sorry, the computer's not up yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's my bad.
It's okay.
No, it's like when
Damian Barling.
It's like really not up. It's like spinning circle.
Oh, do you need me to turn? I'm an engineer now, so
no, I got
I know how to turn the computer off and turn it back on if you need me to.
That usually works, but we're good.
Okay, very good. I'm glad you got. I sent out a memo to wear a cream colored cardigan today. Yeah, pause.
I got
and
it.
You received it. So thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great.
Maybe have worn this once in the last 4 years. So the fact. That we can look like this is just
this
terrific.
This is great. I love this for us.
We do.
I love this for our journey.
We do.
No, this
we've always, I mean, you're one of my closest friends. We are brothers, so now we just are.
Yeah.
It's a combo, though.
We already looked alike, so.
You've got the green that I'm wearing underneath.
This is great.
This is more of a brown.
Oh, I got okay.
But I am tying it all together with green. I don't like the brown. I probably should have done
really
something
earth lighter. Tone, earth tones today.
Yeah, I should have. Mm-hmm. I should have gone a different color underneath, but I wanted the jewelry to pop a little bit, and then the bag.
Same.
So, really wanted the bag to pop. So that's why we're here.
We exist on two different planes when it comes to. I don't turn a light on in the morning. Like, that's a light-colored shirt. I'll wear that cardigan with it. I don't know. Let me grab this hat. We exist very differently.
But
Odyssey backpack.
But we don't. Like, bags for me are like your hats.
That's a good point. You know what? That's a fair point.
I
would have gone shoes with hats, but bags and hats.
I mean, shoes obviously are important, but, like, I really like to accessorize with a good bag.
Mm-hmm. You
this
do.
Is the strangest conversation to probably
no,
ever hit
good.
Sports
no,
radio.
This is good.
But yeah, I like to accessorize with a good bag. You like to accessorize with a good hat.
No doubt. You guys killed Kevin Herter yesterday. Holy
yeah,
smokes.
That was not intentional.
That was
at
tough.
All. That was not intentional. That wasn't planned. It wasn't like in the show, like, hey, we're gonna murder Kevin Herter for the next hour and a half. It was we had like some, you know, you lay out a show, and then. You know, Jill Adge tipped me off to something.
King's Twitter MVP.
Always. The matriarch of King's
Facts.
Twitter. Tipped me off to an article that Tim Maxwell was writing for the King's Herald, and she sent me some of the numbers, and it was like, oh, God, this is really bad.
It's yeah. brutal.
And if you're, like, into numbers, like, this is tough. And I'm always, I say this a million times, you know, Will, Tim Maxwell, those guys who dig into the numbers, it's awesome. You can do whatever you want with the numbers once you have them. I don't know what you do with these Kevin Herter numbers other than to go that they're really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that just turned into a, you know, Jesse's kind of been off the Kevin Herter train for a while. So it just kind of turned into a conversation with multiple different layers. And I understand people who think he's unplayable. I understand, you know, people think he's so bad you can't trade him. I understand people like Kenny who are like, you don't have any other options.
Mm-hmm.
He's not as bad as those numbers say. But yeah, that was tough. That was, and then finding a, you know, getting on Synergy and looking up Kevin Herter defensive plays was just, it was not good.
It is so glaring. And the defensive stuff, I think, is what bothers me the most, is because the second he gets on the court, it's just pick, switch. All right, he's getting cooked.
Well, and whether it's fair, man. If it's fair or not, that 21-2 run took place the second he checked into the game.
Yep.
It yeah. was a 2-point game against Milwaukee until Kevin got in. And again, that doesn't, it could be a terrible coincidence, but man, that's tough. And when we looked at the Warriors numbers were the ones that bothered me the most. Like you saw Trey Lyles, you know, the 24 minutes. Cause remember Kevin shot really well in that game. Mm-hmm. He was like 4 of 6 from 3, 16 points. He was a +3 when like Malik was a +41. You know, Domas was like a +33. I think Trey, I don't remember the exact number. I don't have the notes. It was like, was a +30 something off the bench. It's like, how in a game do you win by 30? You're a +3.
See, that's,
that was the one that was really tough for me because that's the one where we look at, we're like, Kevin was great in that game.
That's where the numbers are always weird and you have to be super cautious with them because we saw there's a video with Tom Haberstroh.
+33 for Trey Lyles off the bench.
Goodness gracious.
There you go. Yeah, there's a video with Tom Haberstroh the other day where he literally said, like, the Kings are better when De'Aaron Fox is off the court. Mm-hmm. Like, on-court, off-court numbers can be odd. Plus minus can be odd, but I would point to the fact that De'Aaron is the one who's primarily playing with Kevin Herter. He's the one who's primarily playing with three like bench players.
Yeah.
So it's always Domas, Malik, and either Keegan or DeMar that stay on the court, and then De'Aaron comes back and plays with one of those, the other guys, so it's either him and Keegan or him and DeMar, but then three bench guys. Mm-hmm. And the fact is their bench hasn't been good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's tough, but like everyone says, hey, is Doug Christie relying on the starters too much?
He does.
Well, yeah, because he wants to win games. That's it.
That was the discussion we had about the starter minutes.
Do you
want to lower the starter minutes or do you want to win basketball games? Because right now, this is the crux of the roster issue. If you have to, the only way you can win basketball games is by DeMar and De'Aaron and those guys, Malik and Domas playing, you know, 30 some odd minutes, 36, 37, 38 minutes, then you have to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, It's not the best, but if that's what you have to do till February, if that's what you have to do to the trade deadline, if that's what you have to do till the end of the regular season to get where you got to go, then that's what you have to do. It sucks. If there are ramifications for it, you're going to have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be ramifications one way or another.
Yeah.
Either you're going to play these guys a ton of minutes and you basically, you hope they can sustain it and nothing happens or they don't trail off at the end of the season or suffer some sort of stress injury or whatever, or you draw back those minutes, rely on a bench that has not been reliable, and lose basketball games. Mm-hmm. Doug doesn't win if the Sacramento Kings lose basketball games.
Yep.
I heard the great Trent Dilfer say that once.
You can't lose games in this league and still win.
I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Doug Christie is facing right now. He can't lose games in the NBA and still win.
And that's where the other crux of the roster issue is you go, okay, so why not go get more playable players? Go make a trade. Well, to do that, you have to trade your playable players.
Yeah.
So unless you're getting multiple rotation guys for Trey Lyles and a pick, which I don't think you are.
But I'm going to continue to fight that. Like you're,
why?
Because you're trading contracts.
Understood.
That's what you're trading. Like you're like if Kevin Huerter doesn't hit another shot, it doesn't matter. The thing that hinders a Kevin Huerter deal right now the most is the fact that he has another year on his deal.
No, I understand.
Like
that.
Trey is for someone, and I don't know who. Trey is money. Very literally. Trey Lyles is very valuable for some organization. I don't know which one, but that money will fall off their books next year should they acquire him. And if they can move money this way and that money comes off, that's what we're talking about. We could talk about these guys not being very good. That doesn't matter.
No, sorry, maybe I misspoke.
Maybe I misunderstood.
If Trey Lyles is moved, you're probably not getting multiple dudes back for Trey Lyles.
Correct.
So, you're not helping the depth problem in your starter minutes.
Well, got you.
That's what I'm saying.
I can tell you the team that Trey Lyles is like full on money for. It's Washington, who has a $10 million Jonas Valanciunas.
I knew you
for
wanted
3 years.
Jordan Poole.
We worked
for 3 years.
I don't do the trade machine nonsense. There's a literal way to land Kyle Kuzma and Valanciunas from Washington, isn't there?
Well, of course there is, but then we get into, would you rather have John Collins? Would you rather have Cam Johnson?
Well, it depends. Would you rather have Cam Johnson or John Collins, or would you rather have Kyle Kuzma and Jonas Valanciunas? Like, if you had to deal with them together and you couldn't deal with them separately, which one would you rather have?
Yeah.
Two players.
Collins. Yeah, right. That's essentially what I'm asking, because we're talking about depth. Cam is going to require you to give up just roster-wise, bare minimum, Kevin and Trey. It's the depth issue that Kyle was just talking about right there. You've got to get someone. You almost have to have a body come back in a deal that involves Brooklyn or Utah. You have to have a body that comes back, because you're probably just going to need someone to play basketball for you, and you cross your fingers and hope that they can contribute so you don't have to go back to, I'm not going to say who, but you know who. Colby Jones.
I advocated on this program today that I'd rather see Colby Jones for 10 minutes and Kevin Huerter for 10 minutes.
I'd rather them go to old Mike Singletary and just play 5-on-4. Get penalized the whole way until you have to figure something else.
Is what that is. In case you missed the context, 4 out of the Kings' 5 starters are top 20 in minutes played per game.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And probably unsustainable.
Yeah.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. What do you guys got?
What day is it? Thursday. Matt George will be with us in the final hour of the show. Obviously, we'll talk a lot of Kings basketball. We'll talk, Golden State in Minnesota was fascinating on so many components.
I will come hang out with you guys for that.
Okay.
I hated all 48 minutes of that basketball.
Understood.
Game.
Understood. So did Anthony Edwards. And they have really flown under the radar for teams that are extremely disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
The Timberwolves are a massive disappointment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And football.
That's all coming up. D'Lo and KC. James and I are done for today. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until tomorrow at 10, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.